The scripture reading this evening is the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look particularly at verses 10 to 13, which deal with the subject of contentment. Philippians chapter 4. It's on page 1250 in your Bibles. Listen to the word of God. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So far, the reading of the Holy Word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of our God remains forever. Let us seek His guidance as we look at this beautiful passage. Dear Father, help us, Lord, to be content. Help us not to worry. Help us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for you. And you will give us what we need. For we know that all things do work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So bless us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, contentment is not easy. It is not easy to be content. There are all kinds of things that make us discontent. People are discontent. Do you know that advertisers play on that? They make you discontent with a car you have, and you need a better one and a bigger one. They make you discontent with the clothes you have. They make you discontent with your figure. You should lose weight. You want to look better. They want you to be discontent and buy their product to make you better. That is really one of the driving forces in advertising. They want you to be discontent so that you will buy their product and that you will improve yourself somehow or other because somehow it's not good enough. We live in that kind of world. People are not content. And it's very sad because if you're not content, you're really not happy. And so the Apostle Paul he has received this gift of the people of the church at Philippi, where he was the church planter. And we saw that last week, how he came to Philippi and how he was led of the Lord to start a church there. And he started with women by the riverside, and then there was the conversion of the jailer and his family. And so the church was started. And Paul went out of the city, he and Silas, Timothy, and Luke, they went out of the city because he had been beaten. He and Silas were in prison, beaten, and he went out and left after he had really strengthened the church. And so he writes them this letter after he received a gift from them. And this letter is about 6 years after he was there. And he's now in prison in Rome, and he gets this beautiful expression of love from the congregation. And he describes that in these verses. It was kind of you to share my trouble. And he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You indeed were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. You know why they had no opportunity? Well, it tells us in 2 Corinthians why they didn't have opportunity. Because there was financial, economic hardship in Macedonia, or in Greece. That's where Philippi was. And he describes that in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. And he says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that is given among the churches in Macedonia. That's Philippi and Thessalonica, that's Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means. I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. So they had trouble. There was financial difficulties in that community. Maybe crop failure. We don't know what it was. But there was financial need. But now things have straightened out. Things have improved in their economy. And now they are giving a gift to Paul. And that gift was overwhelmed Paul. He was thrilled with that expression of love from his congregation. And so he describes that to them. And he says, it's not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now I want to look with you at that word content. C-O-N-T-E-N-T. Now, if you put the emphasis on the first syllable, content, it speaks about a feeling. If you put the emphasis on the second syllable, if you put the emphasis on the first syllable, it's content. The content of this book is between the covers. That's the content of the book. Or the content of this glass of water is what's in it. Now, the word content or content comes from the Latin. The first three letters, C-O-N, come from the Latin word cum, C-U-M. And the last part of the word comes from the Latin word teneo, which means to hold. So, the content of the book is what is held between the covers. The content of the glass is what's inside the glass. That's the content. And the table of contents is the right in the beginning. It tells you what's in the book. But you put the emphasis on the other syllable, and it tells you the feeling of being full. That's contentment. That's being content. That is the feeling of being full. So one is a noun which tells you the content of a book or the content of a glass or the content of anything. That's what's held in it. That's the noun. And the verb is being content, which means a feeling of being full. And that's what Paul is telling us. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am to have the feeling of being full, or the feeling of being totally satisfied. That's full. And the baby at its mother's arms is contented. A contented child, that beautiful figure is found in the Psalms. A child is content, it's full, it's satisfied, it's not crying, it's content. Now Paul says, I have learned that no matter what the circumstances of life are, I've learned to be content. Now let me tell you something, Paul had a lot of reasons for being not content. He describes them in various letters that he writes. One is in 2 Corinthians, and he describes what he's gone through. And he says, let no one think me foolish, or even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I am saying not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool, since, and then he talks about his troubles. He says, far greater labors, far greater imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and night adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from all other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So if anyone had a reason to be discontent, it was Paul. Can you imagine all those things that he went through? I can't hardly imagine another person having gone through all those things. Beaten, shipwrecked, abused, in danger, constantly. He was a man with great, great, great trouble. And yet he says here, I have learned, I have learned the secret of being content. I've learned how to go through trouble, and I've learned how to go through good times. It doesn't matter. I have learned that in whatever state I am, therein to be content. Do you know Paul is telling us that contentment comes through learning. I have learned to be content. It's not an automatic. We are not born content. We're born discontent. But we must learn to be content. We're in God's school, and He's the teacher. And He teaches us contentment. He teaches us, like this text tells us, this passage, in nothing be anxious. In nothing worry. Do not worry. How can, Jesus said, by worrying, can you add a moment to your life? You can't. Worrying will do you no good at all. So don't worry. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't worry. They don't toil. They don't spin. And yet your heavenly Father clothes them more beautifully than Solomon in all his wisdom and beauty. And look at the birds of the air. They don't toil. They don't worry. And yet your Father in heaven feeds them. So don't worry. You're much more important than lilies of the field or birds of the air. So don't worry. So Paul says here, in nothing be anxious. But he doesn't leave us there out on the end, out on a limb. He says, don't worry, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there's an answer to what would cause us to worry. It's prayer. Lay your needs before the Lord. Paul did that too. You remember, he was buffeted by a thorn in the flesh. We don't exactly know what it is. There are some that say it was eye trouble. We're not sure. He doesn't tell us what the thorn is, but it was something very bothersome. So he prayed three times that the Lord would take that thorn in the flesh away from him. In fact, he called the thorn in the flesh an attack of the devil. And so the Lord says to Paul, who had asked three times to have it taken away, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Or as the Dutch has it, my genade, my grace is sufficient for you. My genade is u genoeg. It's enough. God's grace is enough. God will supply all you need. That's what he says in verse 19 of this Philippians 4. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So don't worry. But it is a learning thing. We have to learn to be content. One day I came home as a teenager. I had my driver's license, and I got a ticket. I got a ticket for going too fast. So I came home and told my dad I got a ticket. You know what he said to me? That is, and he said it in Dutch, he said, that is leerkeld, which means it's tuition. That's tuition. You've got to learn not to ever do that again. Getting a ticket is tuition. And the idea is that God is our teacher. And we get into difficulty and trials and troubles and a ticket or whatever. And we have to pay the penalty. And that penalty is tuition in the school of life. In the school of life, we have to pay tuition when we make a mistake. So in the school that God teaches, He sets the curriculum, and whatever we face is part of His curriculum. And He says to us in this passage, no matter what the circumstances are, we must learn to be content. And in some ways, the Israelites never learned it. They went through the wilderness journey, and all they ever did was complain. They all complained. They murmured and murmured and murmured. They were not content. And that doesn't do any good. It only does it bad for us. And so the Apostle Paul here says, I have learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content. That's a wonderful thing to learn, to be content. It's good for our health. It's good for our fellowship with one another. It's good for our relationships. It's good for our marriage. It's good in every way to be content with the Lord's hand in our lives. And so the apostle says, I have learned the secret of being content. Now he tells us the way in which we can succeed in being content. He says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's how we can be content. That is exactly what Paul found in that beautiful experience of his with the thorn in the flesh. That the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't worry. I will take care of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is such a wonderful truth. People have that sometimes as a motto on their wall. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a great thing to remember. So that no matter what we go through, the Lord is right there to sustain us, to help us, to provide for us, to bring us through it. You remember Peter? Peter was in the boat with the rest of the disciples, and Jesus came walking on the water. And they all cried out in fear. And the Lord said, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it is thee, if it is you, let me come to you on the water. And across the waves and the wind came the word from the Lord Jesus Christ, come. So Peter gets out of the water and begins to walk on the water to Jesus. He had his eye on the Lord, and he was walking on the waves that before made them so frightened. And so he's walking to Jesus, and Jesus is walking to him on the water and on the waves. And all of a sudden, Peter takes his eye off the Lord, and he begins to sink. And he says, oh Lord, save me. And right there, Jesus was there with him and took him by the hand and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, that is how we have to live. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Jesus says, lean on me. Lean on me. Don't worry. No matter what you go through as individuals, as families, as a church, as a community, no matter what you go through, lean on me, says the Lord. Be content with what you have. Realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember how Jesus says in that beautiful 15th chapter of John, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him will bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. But in him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Jesus, with extended arms, calls us, says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And he says to everyone, everyone, come unto me. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Come unto me. Do not worry. Seek the Lord and he will come to you. He will help you. Seek the Lord while he is found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is what this is all about. One of the Psalms, it's Psalm 62, the psalmist says that he learned, a great lesson. And that's in the end of Psalm 62, the psalmist says, he says, put no trust in extortion, set no vain hope on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. And now here are two things that he learned. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, to you belongs steadfast love. I have learned that. I have learned that God is good, that he is the overflowing fountain of all good, and that he is full of compassion and steadfast love. That is the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he gives us the ultimate satisfaction. The ultimate satisfaction is being with him forever. Psalm 17, the end of that psalm. When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, and all this weary night is past, and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then will I be satisfied. That is the ultimate contentment of knowing the Lord. We sang of that tonight. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And that verse, I'll love thee in life, I'll love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold in my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. That is the ultimate contentment. And so with Paul, we've got to learn that no matter what the circumstances of life are, to be content. And everyone said, Lord, bless this word onto our hearts tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you are the source of contentment, and that we may learn to be content no matter what the circumstances of life are, because you're in control of the circumstances of life. Oh, Lord, our God, we thank you that you are the overflowing fountain of all good. Bless us this day. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.